This is The Naked Scientist with Ben Valsler and me, Helen Scales. Now, regardless of your own sense of humour, have you ever noticed how watching someone else laugh almost always brings a smile to your face? Well, Professor Sophie Scott from University College London has looked into finding out what's going on in our brains when we see other people laugh. Hello, Sophie.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Well, thanks very much for asking me.
So, what's going on inside our brains when we hear other people laughing?
What happens when you hear people making any kind of emotional sound? So if you hear somebody screaming or somebody going, as well as laughing, what we find is that the part of your brain which you would use to sort of process heard sounds, or that's activated. But also we find the parts of the brain that you would actually activate to yourself produce facial movements and noises is also activated. So it seems that part of what you're doing when you hear people express emotions in their voices is start to join in a little bit with the type of emotion they're expressing. But interestingly, we're finding the effect is much, much greater for laughter than it is for sort of a highly contagious emotion like disgust. It, nonetheless, the laughter effect is much, much bigger. So it seems that when you hear somebody laughing, your brain is really strongly responding with an attempt to get you at least to start smiling, presumably.
So the bits in your brain that basically your brain's getting ready to smile, even if you're not actually at that point of smiling. Do we know that that's what's going on, really?
That's what we think is happening, because so people aren't moving, they're not smiling, they're not laughing, but they're just listening to the sounds, and they're told not to move, not to smile, not to do anything. Nonetheless, even though they've been told to sort of not really try and engage with these sounds at all, their brain is just gearing up much more when you hear the laughter. And we're interpreting that as the sort of the precursor of people actually starting to smile.
And how are we finding this out? How are you looking inside people's brains and finding out what's going on when they're hearing different sounds of other people?
We're using a technique called functional magnetic resonance imaging, which is a way of literally sort of taking photographs of activity inside people's brains when they're, for example, listening to different sounds or they're doing different things.
Why do you think this might be? I mean, what are the ideas behind why should we find laughter so we want to mimic it ourselves? Why is that, do we think?
It seems to be that, I mean, obviously different emotions have different functions, but laughter seems to have a very important function as a group activity. People like to laugh with other people. We laugh more when we're with other people. And in fact, if you look at groups of friends talking to each other, they will try and make each other laugh all the time. So it's actually something that we do as quite a strong social bond. And in fact, you'll find this in other primates. We're not the only species of monkey that laughs. So there are chimpanzee groups that laugh. And they're doing it in the same way. They're doing it to reinforce bonding.
I wonder if we would start smiling if we hear chimpanzees laughing.
Oh, you would do. It sounds very much like a human laugh. You can hear that it's not human, it's different, but it's definitely a laugh.
And babies make kind of laughing sounds too, don't they? Do we know that that's a similar sort of reason why sort of gurgling, happy sounds come out of us when we're still very tiny?
I think that's a very good point. It does seem to be one of the first kind of behaviours that really emerges when, you know, children can cry from the minute they're born, but babies start to smile and laugh around 6 weeks. And that seems to be a really important function, again, for really establishing close bonds with their caregivers. So parents are always absolutely thrilled when their baby starts smiling and laughing back at them. And then they'll really go some miles to try and get the babies to laugh. It's got this really strong, positive bonding quality.
And presumably we do feel good when we laugh, don't we? Is that part of it as well? That it's a sort of the other hormones that are making us feel happy when we laugh?
Absolutely. And I'm supremely unqualified to talk about them. But I'm sort of talking about the activity side of the brain.
Sure.
And I'm not really addressing the chemical changes. But undoubtedly they are. They're going to be all these nice feel-good hormones. Because it feels just great if you've sat and talked to good friends and had a good laugh. It's a lovely feeling, and that seems to be one of the things that's going to be reinforcing the quality of the interaction.
We think that maybe we've been laughing longer than we've been talking, is that right?
There are some people who've argued that because you find laughter in other primate groups, and indeed some people have argued in other mammals, some people argue that rats laugh, that laughter would be one reason for us to get together and sort of have social bonds form between us, even before we could talk to each other. So it's something we could do as a group of people before we could even necessarily have words.
I like the idea of wordless Stone Age jokes, miming or something. Wonderful. Get everyone together. And of course, there are different types of laughter, aren't there? And we think about laughter just being something to do with sort of a joke or something that's funny. But we laugh when we're nervous, or perhaps there's cruel laughter as well. Do you think that the brain's going to respond differently to different types of laughter?
I think this is almost certainly going to be the case. I mean, I'm just looking at one type of laughter. We were taking quite genuine-sounding laughs that didn't have any particular quality to them, so there weren't any evil laughs or nervous laughs in there. And when you consider that, as you say, people actually laugh in lots of different ways. And if you ask people what makes them laugh, people will tell you different things. So in Germany, people will give you a different answer than people would hear. And that's sort of associated with different qualities of laughs that different cultures are better attuned to hearing. So I think there's undoubtedly a whole story within this of different kinds of laughter and different ways that we use it.
And is it all about the sound of laughter, or if we look at someone else or see someone else laughing, is that going to give us a similar response in our brains, do we think?
I think so. I mean, you must have had the experience of sitting in a meeting and you can see in your peripheral vision that one of your colleagues has started giggling and they're not making any noise yet, but they're just shaking in that way that you know they're laughing, and it starts to have that effect on you. So I think it is bound not to be something that's only expressed through the auditory modality.
And you said that you also play people nasty sounds, so
yeah.
Screaming, is that a sort of wretched
screaming and disgusted sounds and all sorts of horrible sounds.
Do we think there's something, you said, and there wasn't such a strong response, we're not pulling a face as much or preparing ourselves to pull
yeah.
a face when that happens.
There was a degree of an effect there, but it was a much less strong effect for the negative emotions we looked at. So it did seem that a little bit of understanding emotions made by other people seems to be that you engage these motor areas, these areas you'd use to make actions yourself, but they're much less strong than they are for these positive emotions like laughter. So it can't be something to do with the kind of contagion of the emotion itself, because we know that disgust is really contagious. I mean, if you're with somebody who looks at a bowl of food and goes, ugh, you're going to feel a little bit sick. You probably wouldn't want to eat that food yourself. It's very contagious, but it doesn't seem that when they go bleh, that you necessarily have to start going bleh as well.
It's just enough to hear them, yes.
Yeah, I apologise for keeping doing that.
All sounds good. And where are you going to take this next? Are you going to start planning to look at more detail at what's going on inside our brains when we're preparing to laugh and preparing to smile?
Well, there's all sorts of things we're trying to do with this. So one of my colleagues who's been working on this, Deesa Sota, has been off looking at laughter in other cultures. So she's been off working with people living in very un-Westernized societies in the Namibian desert. And lo and behold, they actually laugh in exactly the same way. So it is interesting to look at the really strong commonalities across groups. And it's also interesting to start looking at these things in terms of understanding normal and abnormal brain functions. So can we find some of these patterns of sort of these responses to very positive emotional noises? Are they reduced in any particular clinical groups? So people who really aren't finding life very funny, are they really showing suppressed responses?
That's fantastic. Thanks, Sophie. That was Sophie Scott from University College London. And so next time you see someone else enjoying a joke, you'll know that your brain is priming you to join in and laugh along with them.